spoke a lot about tefillah. But I see from a lot of bachrim, a lot of shailos that came up, that there's still a lot more room to talk about tefillah. And it was requests that maybe we should speak more about tefillah. So, Rebbeinu Shem Hashgacha allowed it, that we could speak a little more in the inyan of tefillah today. A few more points that I think are very important for us to know. We already discussed 4 points last week. I want to go to a fifth point, which is very, very vital. Davening is not just about the Ribbono Shel Olam giving us what we're asking for, getting an answer to our tefillah. It's something we have to realize and know. There's something much more in davening than that. Rav Shimshon Pinkus talks about this in his Perek of Itur. We all know it's a famous Gemara in Brachas. Imro Odom Shespalo Veloinene. A person davens for something and wasn't answered. Yachsav Yispalo. Go daven again, the Gemara says. Shenema, like the pasuk tells us, Kavi El Hashem, Chazak Yami Tzivecha, V'Kavi El Hashem. You hope in Hashem, and it doesn't work, you still don't have what you're asking for, strengthen yourself and do it again. Frek of Shimshon Pinkus, I don't understand. When you go to your friend to ask him for a favor, imagine, I don't know, good muscle, let's say you need from your friend a favor, please go to the bakery and buy me a certain item. And your friend says, no, I'm sorry, I can't go. If you ask him 5 more times, like some bachur say, I might just punch him in the face. I've heard of some bachur, literally. And in my days, we didn't talk like this. But the point being is that asking him 5 more times won't help. If your friend says no, it's no. So you try one more time, you try to push him. If you don't ask him 5 times or 10 times, you're missing social skills if you do that. Yet by the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're encouraged to keep asking again and again. What does that mean? If the Ribbono Shel Olam is not giving it to you, why are you still asking? And why are you being encouraged to ask? Azoy Frekam Shimshon Pinkus. On that he says that Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Midas Basav Adam are very, very, very different. Our Hanhaga and Hashem's Hanhaga is worlds apart. When you ask your friend for something, you're asking him for the thing, and the tachlis, he says, is to get what you're asking for. Odom mevakish mireyu davar, hari tachlis maisa bakosha, is pekidei lekabel mashem mevakish. V'lochein, im chave'ein chave'ru arneyu, if your friend's not answering to do it for you, because aim ritsoinoi lamali bakashasa, he has no interest in giving you this. Matoi elas beribe bakashas, what does it help to keep asking? Im aim ritsoinoi bakash, he has no interest, asking him 5 more times won't change anything. Masha'in came by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Etzem o'inyin, sha'odem mevakish oisai. The etzem coming to Hashem and asking Him for anything, Ritzoinoi losses, Hashem wants to give you everything. Ein shum ikuv oigvul l'chasnoi v'tuvo yizbarach. There's no boundaries to the Ribbono Shel Olam's chesed of how interested He is in giving you everything. But rather, a lot of chashbonis of why at times things are held back. And therefore, the more you ask, Yiskarev Adam al Hashem, you're getting closer to Hashem. And the Ribbono Shel Olam loves the fact that you're davening and asking for it. Like he says, the Ribbono Shel Olam is misave. He has a taiva, l'tfilosam, a tfilah of every yid. He's misave l'tfilosam. The The fact that you're getting closer to Him with every tefillah, you're having a higher level of dveikus with Hashem and connection and attachment with Him with every tefillah. Be'emes hatachos anirtzu meikara. The whole reason why in the first place you need to ask for it. V'hasiba l'chisara, the reason why you're lacking it, is because your Rebbeinu Shem wants to be close with you. And therefore, you're getting closer to your destination and you're encouraged to keep asking. And you're encouraged to come and do that ma'isa tefillah again and again. Because the ma'isa tefillah itself is a tachlis. And that's when he goes on further to talk about Rosh Hashanah Pinchas. He says the actual asking is already accomplished. You're accomplishing the goal by just asking. By friends, there's no such thing. I'm only asking to get. I ask you to go to the bakery because I need something from the bakery. Stop asking, there's no point. By the Rebbeinu Shalom, the actual asking is the tachlis in itself. And he brings the raya from a Moridik apostle. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Ki toiv chastecho mechayim, svosa yishabchuncha." Ki toiv chastecho mechayim. Your chesed literally means your chesed is so good from life. With my lips, I praise you. Zokta Malbin, how do you read this pasuk? It's a little poetic, it's hard to read straight. Zokta Malbim, the pasuk is saying, HaChesed shel svosa yishabchuncha. The chesed that Hashem allows you with your lips, just praise Him and talk to Him. Hu toiv yoise, it's even greater, mei chesed hachayim, the chesed of life in itself. The actual relationship that I'm creating with you, Hashem, ki toiv chastecho mechayim, greater than the chesed of chayim of life, and you're giving me all the things I need for life, is the svosa yishabchuncha, the ability to talk to you and make a relationship with you, that kiruv and dveikus. He says, l'moshel, he says, imagine a guy goes to a doctor, and a big specialist that he goes to. He needs help in a certain medical inyan. So he goes to the doctor, and Lamaisa, this doctor, besides of being a great specialist, his personality is so charming, and you end up schmoozing with him, and mom is getting a geschmacka relationship with him. He walks out from the doctor, and this is after a bunch of visits for months long, and not only is the doctor helping medically, but he feels like he has a friend also. He created a friendship. If you would ask this guy, what's more important to you? Of course he'll tell you, yeah, you're right, I got a friendship. But the fact that he helped me medically, that was definitely much more important. You know, I have a heart disease, I needed this help. The help that he's helped me with his cardiology is still more important than the friendship, even though he appreciates the friendship. Zokar Shimshim Pinkis, by the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's not like that. This pasuk is teaching us not like that. By Hashem, although when we daven, we get the results. Every tefillah helps. Every tefillah brings us closer. That we're getting the thing that we're asking for. But still, simultaneously, we're creating a relationship and a friendship, a kiruv and dveikus to Hashem. And the pasuk is saying, "Ki toiv chastecho mechayim," greater than getting the gift of life and the things I need in life, is the fact that svosa yishabchuncha, the fact that I could talk to you and praise you and talk to you in tefillah and create that relationship, that friendship with the Rebbeinu Shalom is even greater and more important than the actual help he'll give us in the thing that we're davening for. So this is a Moridik Yisoyed, and this is the fifth point that we have to internalize. To realize, tefillah is not just about getting the answer to what we're davening for. But the actual davening creates dveikus, kiruv Hashem, avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, all the madrekas in life. Like we spoke about already last week, that we climb rungs on a ladder through our tefillah. It's la'avdoi b'chol levavchem. every tefillah which creates this relationship is even more important than if we actually got answered on what we're davening about. Let me save your question if you don't mind. I'll hopefully take the question at the end. So let's talk a little open, if you don't mind. You know, I'm making a cheshbon. It's come out almost 6 months already that I know this olam. So I feel like we could be a little more open, a little more blunt. We were getting to know each other. No one should get insulted. Based on this piece of information, based on this understanding of what davening is about, that it's this real relationship more than even getting a request. This l'chayra, first of all, it demands from us that in our davening, we have to be alive and awake in our davening. That's the metzias. You know, many people come to davening and they're half asleep, or maybe more than just half asleep. They're actually asleep in their seats. And we have to realize, if our davening is a relationship of kirv and dveikus l'Hashem, it's not enough just to be there, even if you're saying the words. It has to be alive, you have to be awake. I don't know if you ever noticed, you know, most rabbeim stand by Psuka de Zimra when they're saying Psuka de Zimra. And yet if you open Shulchan Aruch, there's no Shalacha. So I didn't take a survey of why rabbeim are usually standing. But I'll tell you I personally why, and I think it's very applicable for everybody. The first part of davening is still just, you know, you're not in it yet. You're still half asleep. You want to be awake, you want to be alive. You go to your seat and sit back, you're not going to feel it. And therefore, I believe the reason why rabbeim usually are standing by their Psuka de Zimra is just to be alive and awake. And it's a simple piece of advice if anybody wants to make something real out of the davening. Why sit back in your seat and fall asleep if you can make something out of your davening and be alive and awake? Stand up. You know, it was known by Rav Steinman. When I went to visit him in Eretz Yisrael when I was a bacher, he was still gesund and healthy. He never sat on the back on his chair. At that time, he was sitting on a bench. That's when he sat in his home. He sat and learned all day, and he was on a bench. He didn't have a back. Why? Because the mice are sitting on a back with a chair, a chair with a back. The mice is that much more comfortable, that much more puts you to sleep. He always was sitting forward because he was on a bench. He didn't even have a back. The later years, I don't know, when he was older, maybe things changed, but it was known about him, this Milo. And this was all day when he was learning and everything. The point being is that he found himself Eitzus, had to sit and learn and shtayg. If the back of a chair is not good for me, he never sat with the back of a chair. So let's speak open by us also. If half of us are asleep during Pesukah de Zimra, what do you think we should do? Stand up, make yourself alive. Look for Eitzus that davening can become real. Another thing, if davening is about this relationship, we have to make sure, and somehow you have to figure it out, but some people spend a lot of time in the bathroom during davening, or in the coffee room during davening, or whatever else they're busy with. If this is the time where you have to make a relationship with the Rabbi Nishlilam, you have to make sure you're there and available to have that relationship. And figure it out how to go ahead and be there for that relationship. We have to think about the opportunity that we have for davening. You know, I'll tell you over, my wife was a fourth grade teacher for years. So she tries to give over to the kids appreciation, what it means that you have the opportunity to daven to Hashem. So she, to bring out the message, she wants to show them how Hashem is always there and available for us. And you just have to do, all you have to do is talk to him and he's ready to listen. And that's even better than, she says, even better than like the president. You know, if you try to get through to the president, you're not going to get through. And she takes out her phone and she dials the president. And she has the phone number to the White House and puts it on speaker. And she says, hello, can I please speak to the president? I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm the secretary. I can take a message for you. She says, what do you mean take a message to me? I want to speak to the president. She said, I'm sorry, you can't just get through to the president like that. So she says, what do you mean? I'm a U.S. citizen. I pay taxes. I'm a good, abiding, you know, person in this, in the country. What does it mean I can't just get through to the president? And the kids are listening to this conversation. And he said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but this doesn't work like that. You know, I know you pay taxes, but, you know, and they're having a whole long conversation. The kids see that there's no way in the world you're getting through to the president. If I leave a message for the president, will he call me back? No, I'm sorry. There will be someone else representing it. And no matter what, you're not getting through to the president. We have to realize, Hashem, the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, who doesn't compare to the American president, the Rabbeinu Shlom is available for every one of us to get through just like that. You go talk to him and he's available. And when we talk to him, we create this dveikus and this relationship with Kiruv Hashem. And that's what it's all about, but you have to be there for it. If half the time you're in the bathroom, or half the time you're in the coffee room, or whatever else you have to take care of, and you can't give your time for it, or you still don't get out of bed, whatever it is, if you're not there, it's not going to happen. And the emphasis, this also demands of how you sit by davening. When you are sitting, how do you sit by davening? Do you sit like you're on a lounge chair? And you're sitting back, mamash, as if you're tanning in the sun? Are your feet crossed? Or you're sitting with awe and realization that it's dveikus and kiruv Hashem? Something to think about. The way we daven, the way we sit by davening, what respect we have. And because we're creating such a relationship, you have to realize every chelik of davening plays a big role. There's no chelik of davening, it's not important. Everything, every chelik of davening is very real. It makes this real relationship if you do it right. You know, I saw from Arizal. Arizal, we all know that Arizal's Madrega and Kabbalah and everything. But he was once looking at someone, a person came into him, and it was brought down. Arizal looked at him and said, he looked at his forehead, he could see it all over his forehead. He says, Kol yamecha lo yispalto tfilos shmein ha'esir b'shleimus. He told him, you never daven shmein ha'esir b'shleimus. The person's looking, like, you know, he's Yerush Shemayim, he davens every day. What do you mean? I never daven Shlemus. And the Shlemizal just looks at him and sees that he hasn't been davening Shemayim Esri properly. And like, he wasn't sure, what does Arizal want? So Arizal told him, he says, there's a pasuk that you skip. V'chisei David avdecha meheiru l'soy chatochen, which is a pasuk in Yerushalayim Ircha, that line, he skips it. Now, in truth, we have a part of our davening. It's part of our Seder davening. But it's something that's questionable because it would seem that belongs in the next bracha, but Samach David, we talk about Chisei David Avdecha. And the fact that it's in Yerushalayim Ircha is, you know, something that's a Ha'ara. So obviously this person held, because of this Ha'ara, whatever he was relying on, he didn't say that pasuk. Because now I'm in the bracha of Yerushalayim Ircha Barachim Toshuv, and that line of Chisei David Avdecha doesn't make any sense in Yerushalayim Ircha. Kisei David Avdecha belongs to the next bracha. So he skipped that one pasuk. And Arizal saw it on his face. You know what this means? So even if we're not in the Madriga to see it on each other's faces, what parts of davening is not part of us? But we have to realize, to grow in davening, you have to have a shleimus in the whole davening. Shleimus in the whole davening. Every part counts. One line missing makes a big difference. Akopanim, this is a yisoy that we have to know in regard to davening, that it's not just about our tefillahs being answered, but the etzem maimed of our davening creates something great that's even worth more than being answered. And a sixth point, a second one for today, this is a big yisoy that we have to know. We have to always increase our amunah and realize every tefillah the Rabbeinu Shalom answers. There's a gavaldik apikorsis out there, a gavaldik akfira out there, I've been fighting this for years. Many years ago, I even wrote a kutrus on this. It's on the shelf downstairs, I think. A maimer on koyach hatfilah. People think that at times you could daven and the Rabbeinu Shalom could say no. He asks for something and Hashem's response is no. A parent, you come ask your parent for something, the parent can say no if they want. So Hashem says no. And that is nothing less than apikorsis. Nothing less. The Rabbeinu Shalom made this world in a way that he created the idea of tefillah, that tefillah is a power that brings results, period. And therefore, every tefillah brings you closer to your destination and brings you positive results. There's no such thing as Hashem just saying no and refusing. It doesn't exist. And there's many riots to this. You go through it by yourself, whenever you want. But Akoponim, this is the yesod that we have to know. And it changes your whole davening if you believe that every tefillah helps. Most of us don't believe this. If you would realize every time I daven, it helps and it brings me closer to what I need, it's a whole different approach to davening. I'll tell you a Mori Dika Maisa. It's a Maisa, Dr. Pelkowitz, he's a therapist in New York, said this over. He was at a convention once, and we all know Chai Lifeline organization. So they run summer camps, Camp Simcha, one half for boys, one half for girls. And it was one summer after the whole summer of the 2 months. I think the first half is the boys, the second half is girls, if I remember correctly, or vice versa, whatever it is. And the head staff, you can imagine, obviously there's boys counselors for the boys division, there's girls counselors for the girls division. But this head staff that run the whole program, they get together at the end of the summer to discuss the whole summer, how the 2 months went, and all different details. And they're sitting down by the discussion, and they're hearing over how there was this boy there, a 22-year-old boy who was one of the counselors. He was really tremendous in what he did. But you should know, he himself was a cancer patient, and he was in remission. Baruch Hashem, he was fine now. And through the discussions, when they're going through all the different staff of both departments, they found that there was a girl who was come out the same age, who also, she was in the girls' division, a staff member, also tremendous in her job. And she happens to be also was a cancer patient. It's not typical. Usually the counselors are you know, regular people that go without the disease. But Pump, she was also once a cancer patient and she was in remission. So someone at the meeting said, you know, this sounds like a great shidduch. He's 22 years old. Why shouldn't we read him to her? And the same, they come from the same background, the same boat. I'm saying, you know, they're experiencing the same thing. It might be a great shidduch. So they sure enough, they read the shidduch. And the boy and girl Taka went out. And Baruch Hashem, you know, the Taka got engaged to each other. And this boy happens, he was from Australia. She was from New York. And they have a chasana date planned. So it was a few weeks before the chasana. And he was going to go back to Australia for one last time before the chasana, with get his stuff and arrange a few things and all that. So the night before the flight, he went out with his kala. And they went out. And Baruch Hashem, they had a great time. And she looked great, and everything was great. And he said goodbye, assuming he's flying tomorrow to Australia. Next day, he gets to his flight. Now, the flight to Australia is like, I think, over 24 hours. You got to fly all the way to LA. And then from LA, you got to go to all the way. It's a lot of hours, a lot of connecting flights. It's a real, you know, it's a brutal trip, as they say. It really is. He gets on his flight and he flies the first half from New York all the way to LA, total cross country. And after a couple hours, he gets on his connecting flight to Australia. While he's on that flight from LA to Australia, all of a sudden, she collapses the kala and she's rushed to the hospital. And a tremendous emergency, they rush her into the hospital and her matzav is really bad. She obviously, the machla must have came back and she literally is unconscious and trying to figure out what to do. Terrible state of emergency. And they realize they got to better speak to this chassan and let him know about his kala, what's going on. And they figure out that he's on this flight to Australia. And they got involved with all the askanim that really he has to turn around and come back because it's very life-threatening what she's going through. And who knows what's going to be. And he has to really come back to see his kala and be there. And it's the whole thing. The kitzer, they get involved, the askanim, you know, very well connected. And they have it all planned out that the minute he lands in Australia, they're going to put him back on the next flight back and have him come back the other direction. You can imagine this chassan can't believe the news when he hears it. I mean, I just saw her last night. She was great. Everything was fine. He can't even believe it. And he's just ice mensch, obviously. And besides that, you can imagine how worn out he is for the trip 24 hours that direction. And now he's coming back another 24 hours the other direction. Literally. And he's back on the flight the other direction. And he lands. He's by the connecting place in L.A. And he calls his Rebbe crying tears, telling his Rebbe what's going on. His parents plan on obviously meeting him by New York. They were in New York at the time. And they were trying to arrange everything to try to, you know, keep him sane for this terrible tsar that he's going through. So he calls his Rebbe when he's in L.A. And he has to take his last connecting flight. And he tells his Rebbe, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot over the flight back. And I really, you know, we were so made for each other. But Mamish, I'm telling you, this is my Zivik. I have no question about it. She is my Zivik. No matter what, I want to go to the hospital and get married to her right then and there. Could you be beside the Kedushin in the hospital? So his Rebbe says to him, you know, I hear what you're telling me, but you know, we have to see if halachically it's even possible. I understand what you're going through, but halachically, if she's not all with it, it might not be possible. He said, okay, just, if it's possible, please meet me by the hospital and all that. So sure enough, he gets on his connecting flight. He's flying from LA now back to New York. And at the airport, his Rebbe's waiting for him with his parents and everybody's there to comfort him. And they all go to the hospital together. They come into the hospital room and she's hooked up to all the machines. And literally, she's not so with it. Eyes open. She doesn't even like, you don't see any facial expressions or anything that she acknowledges him walking in. And it seems like a very serious situation. So he turns to his Rebbe and he says, can I get married to her? So he said, I'm not sure. Maybe everybody go out of the room. Let me have a talk with her. Everybody leaves the room and he talks to the kala and he realizes she's not really with it. She really was not in a healthy situation. So he comes back out of the room and he goes to the chassan and he says, you know, it doesn't seem like, you know, she's with it enough to get married. Very sorry. It doesn't seem like it. And he breaks down crying. I'm telling you, she's my zivik. I have to get married to her. And his mom is going crazy. So the Rebbe tells him, did you daven shachris yet? Keep chesed all those days, whatever day they were up to. Did you daven shachris yet? He said, no. He said, how about you go to the other room, daven shachris, and let's see if the shachris where she's holding. So he sends him to the other room, the big chaylum room, whatever it was, and he goes there for a half hour. In his davening, you can imagine how he poured out his heart to the Rebbeinu Shlom. When he got to the bracha of Sim Shalom, he had a new way of teaching the words, which if you listen carefully, you'll never forget this upteich. He asked the Rebbeinu Shlom, and we say Sim Shalom Toiv Avracha Chaim Chaim Chesed, Ki Be'or Ponecha Nosata Lanu. B'cheinu avinu, kolonu ke'echol ba'or panecha. The Baruch Hashem bent us with the or panecha. Right? They came into the hospital room and she was very pale and she was not with it. You could see it on her face. So his heart burst out in crying. The Rabbeinu Shalom, Barchenu Avinu, Kulonu Kechot, Ba'or Panecha, your Or Panecha, the light of your face. Rabbeinu Shalom, you have so much light in your face. Barchenu Avinu, Kulonu Kechot, Ba'or Panecha, Ki Ba'or Panecha, Nasata Lonu, your Or Panecha, give us. Let us be zeich to some of the Or Panecha. And the real kavanah is the continuation of what Or Panecha gives us. He all the brachas of what Or Panecha gives us. But he begged the Rabbeinu Shalom in tears. You have so much Or Panecha. Give us back some Or Panecha. And he had in mind, obviously, his kala. Let him have some Or Panecha. From your Or Panecha that you have, which is overwhelming, with no gvul. And after a half hour of David, he comes back out. And he comes, he meets his Rashiva in the hallway, and he goes along with his Rebbe back into the room. And he walks into the room, and she smiles at them. And her whole Or Panecha, her whole facial expressions was a whole different person. Mamash, you saw on her face that she, Mamash had Or Panecha. The Rabbeinu Shalom Mamash answered the tefillah, and she had a whole different facial expression. She recognized him, and it was a whole different thing. And he turns to his Rebbe, and he says, maybe step out for a minute, let me see. And he has a discussion with her, and she was alert, and she was with it. And sure enough, his Rebbe said, okay, she's fine. And Dr. Polkowitz was saying over this story, he said, I was at the convention, and the speaker picked up two children, and he said, I am the one that got married to that girl in the hospital. My Rebbe performed the marriage for me, and here are my two children. And this is a true story Dr. Pelkowitz witnessed. He said, here is somebody who was at the brink of fighting life and death situation, and yet pouring out his heart in one tefillah, and not even the right pshat in the wording. And yet, the results that it brought, that he was taka zoicha to get married to her and have a family. We have to realize the power of every one of our davenings. How it could bring results. And we just have to believe in the davening. Believe in our tefillah. Because every one of our tefillahs have power. There's no such thing as Hashem saying no. Everyone brings results. And you should know, from Shimshon Pinkus, he himself brings down a Mori Dikamaisa. In this inyan, in the Perek of Pegia, he talks about the type of tefillah of Pegiah, Vayifka, Pegiah. He translates Pegiah as a ribui bakoshois ba'akshonos, having a lot of tefillah with a stubbornness. When you beg the Rabbi for something you really need, that's the tefillah of Pegiah, that with a stubbornness you ask Hashem for something you need very badly. This is what he talks about. So over there he says, I want to share with you a story that I witnessed with my own eyes. He says, Hivanti dover zeh, I learned this Mayridika message of what Pegia is. Davening with a stubbornness for something you need very much. I learned this, he said, from a couple that I saw. He said it was an older couple, already in their 50s. Shechozru b'tshuva. They became Bali tshuva. And they were very, 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 it was an incredible couple because his schilu l'shloich his b'neim, they sent the children they still had at home to chinuch charedi, to regular from schools, and it was zeichav, these boys became regular yeshiva bachrim, the gam chosnam, even their son-in-laws were chayzer b'tshuva, and the father himself, who started attending shiurim, after 5 years, he left his job that he was successful in, Vishyashiv Luma Bekoilal, he ends up going to Koilo, Veloibe Kol Hayoim Kuloi, Basmodu Bekeshik. And I saw in my own eyes this Baal Tshuva, 5 years later, the husband sitting in Koilo full time. Reisi Vishtaimamti, I saw this and I was Nishtaimim, I didn't understand how this is possible. Heich Nia Kadavar Godal Kazer, Ma'oilam Le Reisi Kazai, no one ever saw or witnessed such a story. People come by a tshuva, they change a little bit. But to such an extreme, at such an old age of a 50-year-old man, he says, such a thing we never saw. And I had to go mivayar, what's pshat over here? He says, Sha'alti, echod hamakiris hamashpacha. I asked somebody who knows his family. Someone from the building who knows his family. I had to find out what the secret behind this is. V'sipur li eizah shakara. This person told me over exactly what happened. Ishtoi shel Yehudi zeh. The wife of this man. Hechlita b'akshonos. She was inspired and she decided with a stubbornness. Shebailot sorich l'siyashev l'umay. She wants her husband to sit and learn in Kailo forever. She was a friar person. They weren't a frum couple. She must have had some level of inspiration somewhere. And she went to the extreme and said, I want my husband to sit and learn. But he wasn't even frum. Avobi she'avina, she understood very well. She said, rochok min ha-metzias. U'kamach lo dibra itay. She didn't even talk to him about it. Because it doesn't make sense. You know, you saw the cover of the FDJ last week. I don't know if you saw it. With the man with all the tattoos and the rings and everything where it came from. I don't know if you saw the cover. Used to be always hanging, the FDJs used to end up over here in the dorm. But whatever it is, you have to imagine such a person with tattoos all over himself and rings and nose rings and earrings and everything coming out of him. And such a person ended up becoming from and sitting in Kailo full time. Imagine such a story. This is what Rav Shimshon Pinkus witnessed. What's the pshat? He says, his wife decided she wants this from her husband. But she understood, it doesn't make any sense. Look at my husband, I can't even talk to him about it. I mean, he has to first take off his rings in order to go to Kailo. Afalpi she'avinu she'zeh rochok min ha-metzias. V'kamach lo dibra itoy al zeh. Aval eschilo l'spalo al kach tefilos rabbis. She started davening to Hashem that this should happen. V'loma, and she said, harbe harbe tehillim. Hakol matara achas, all with one goal. Bailo yiyya talmud chokom gomor. That was her tefillah. My husband should become a moiridika pure talmud chokom. Her husband had tattoos and rings, don't forget. Hashonim avru ula'at la'at. The years passed and slowly b'derech nes mamish. The husband became frumer and frumer, like we said in the story. La'at la'at hafach adavu l'metzius u'kamosh re'isi be'eini, like I see with my own eyes, that today this man's loymed basmoda kol hayoyim Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rishonim, Achronim, Ve'ena Mavatel Rega. This is what he says over, that he witnessed with his own eyes. We have to realize that this is the yesod of a power of tefillah. Every tefillah makes a difference. Every tefillah brings results. And at times we find Meshulah D'Kamaisim that happened, and it's only with the power of tefillah that it makes any sense. And I'd like to add, it's not only our tefillah. Like we spoke last week, every Chazaras HaShatz makes a difference. If the Arizal taught us that Chazaras HaShatz is even more chashuv than regular Shemayna Esrei, it's more powerful, like we said last week, that means every Chazaras HaShatz that I shall tzutu, that power of the Chazaras HaShatz is so powerful, it also brings results, like we're saying. And you should know, I saw from Michatzko Levenstein, Shamati me'amashkiach abichatzkel. Shoya oime ke'etza toive. He said, give people taka this etza. Kidei sha'odom yuchol islam. And a person wants to come in control of his mind. People, unfortunately, today more than ever, people don't know how to control their mind. We spoke about this a lot this year. A person has to know how to think, how to replace thoughts that he doesn't like, and have some shlita over our minds. We control our actions, we can control a little more about our speech, but our mind is something, somehow, when we want to space out, we have no control to stop it. When we have machshavas of, you know, thoughts of depression or anything, we don't know how to replace it. People today have less control over their minds. So you used to give people advice, you want to learn how to control your machshava. You want to have your thoughts in your palm of your head, that you control how you think. You want to be a bailam on that. He used to recommend people, L'shmoya l'chazaras hashatz mitoich ha-siddur. Follow chazaras hashatz, bracha to bracha, of chazaras hashatz from a siddur. Because dehu limud, that's going to train you l'hergul shmiras machshava, how to go ahead and be focused. Every bracha, you're focusing on him speaking, and you're answering and responding amen to that bracha that he's saying, and then he's switching to the next bracha, and your mind is paying attention and being controlled. That's how you get shlita on your mind. Today, most people, by Chazaras HaShatz, like we spoke about last week, we just space out, we just let our mind wander, and we're losing opportunity of a davening of Chazaras HaShatz, but we're also losing this opportunity of becoming Bailam on our Machshava. And one last point, the seventh point that I want to talk about, maybe I'll just, then the last 2 minutes I'll leave over for questions in case Betzal has a question or any others have any questions. Everybody knows how difficult it is to get up in the morning for davening. We have to realize when you have trouble getting up in the morning for davening, this is something that everybody experiences. We all have a Yetzer Hara, and that's why as a Yid, it becomes even harder to get up in the morning. Because the Yetzer Hara wants to keep you in bed. And I want to just tell you, share with you a story. A Maisa with Rabbi Eliashiv. I would think, this Maisa astounded me, because I would think Rabbi Eliashiv, who woke up at 2:30 in the morning and sat for a few hours long learning, he probably had no problem getting out of bed in the morning. Oh, that's what you would imagine? Rabbi Eliashiv? Yet, I know not like that. How do I know not like that? Rabbi Eliashiv, when he came to his older age, and he, I don't know if he was like near 100 already at that point, he was having some cardiac issues again, and he had a meeting with the doctor to discuss his Seder Ayun, because the doctor said the level of your heart, how it's working, you have to cut back on some activity. Let me know what your Seder Ayun is. So he went through the whole Seder Ayun with the doctor. And part of the Seder Ayoyim was, when he wakes up at 2:30 in the morning, he takes, the minute his alarm goes off, he takes his blanket and he throws it away. So he shouldn't have his blanket. This is what he does every morning when he wakes up. So when the doctor was going through a Seder Ayoyim, the doctor says, at your age, this is too strenuous. You can't pick up your blanket and throw it to the other side of the room. You can't do that. So, the first few days, he listened to the doctor and he stopped throwing his blanket. His grandson said, Edus, was his gabbai in his house, like a week later, he saw Rabbi Eliashiv throwing his blanket again. So he said to Zayda, what do you mean? The doctor said, you're not allowed to do this. What's going on? So he said, you know, I can't get out of bed if I don't throw my blanket. And what am I alive for? I'm alive to get up in the morning and serve Hashem. I can't get out of bed unless I throw my blanket. So could you imagine Rabbi Eliashiv, who sat hours long at 2:30 in the morning, sitting and learning, yet he can't get out of bed. He had to disagree with the cardiologist and do something that they said was dangerous for his heart, who was only working, I think, at 20% capacity at that time. I'm arguing the doctor, I'm alive for a reason to serve Hashem, I'm throwing my blanket. And the rest of the life, he kept up that anhaga of throwing his blanket. Because he held, he can't get out of bed otherwise. So we have to realize, when we have struggles getting out of bed, everybody has such struggles. There's nobody who doesn't, even Rabbi Eliashiv struggled with it. And the only Yetzer is the determination that I want to get up. If I decide to get up, and I decide to get up for 7:45 Pesukah de Zimra, not 8:05 Pesukah de Zimra, 7:45 Pesukah de Zimra, you decide to get up when you're supposed to be up, you will be there. It's all about deciding. You know, Chazal say, Ein davar oimei lifnei haratzon, nothing stands in the way of our desire. If we're not there, 7:45 is because we don't want to be there, not because we're not able to be there. And the proof is, every one of us know what we're able to get up for at times. You remember in camp when you got up some crazy hours at times to go on a trip. You remember some flight you might have had, you got up some crazy hours. You know when you had a bris and you wanted to make it to the bris for your sister, whatever it was. You got up crazy hour to go travel somewhere. Everybody has their time when they got up. How'd you do it? Because you wanted to, you were interested. When you're interested and you have a rutzim for something, you do it. So Elamai, it's all about deciding that I'm interested. I have to develop that interest. I have to have an interest. And that's the answer, that's the only answer. And Mela, with this in mind, that's going to help us to taka be there when davening starts at 7:45, because I know I could do it. And the struggle, even Rabbi Eliashiv struggled. Elamai, I just have to decide how I'm going to do it and do it. Upon these are different in Yonim that we all have to work on, the Be'ezer Hashem, with working on it. We'll hopefully, Beis Hashem, get very far in our tefillah, to takashtayg and grow, to really serve the Rebbeinu Shalom of the B'chol of Avchan. Okay, what's your shayla? Let me hear.